Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
We welcome online, and I'm looking forward to chatting to Kanan Lidor on the Israel Report. Kanan, very good afternoon to you. Thanks so much for joining us on today's show.
Good afternoon. Chag Sameach.
Oh, Chag Sameach to you, and yes, blessings during this time of Hanukkah and to all listeners from us here at Chai FM. Kanan, it's great to have you on board once again. Great to be chatting to you again. Okay, so I'm going to throw it out to you. On the Israel Report, what are you bringing us today?
Well, actually, today and for the past 2 days, the media in Israel has been focused, zoomed in on what happened in Australia,
sure.
Obviously. But so far, we've actually sent an Israeli cabinet minister, Amichai Shikli. He's in Australia right now. He went on a very urgent trip to actually attend the funerals of some of the 15 people who were killed, and we're kind of sifting through the stories of heroism, the small heroism and the large one, the people putting their lives in danger in order to wrestle the gun away from the shooters, like we saw with Boris and Sophia Gurman,
right.
A couple in their 60s, but also lesser-known stories of heroism, like a woman who wrote on Facebook how she lay on top of her daughter for 10 minutes, protecting her from the bullets, only to realize that she may have smothered her, and the horror of finding out that this may have happened, and then the daughter breathed again, and this miraculous feeling of being saved. That's kind of the stuff that Jewish Israeli media is right now zoomed into.
Indeed. Let's stay on that subject, Kanan. Earlier on, something caught my eye, and this now is a story, I take it, is still developing, but it had to do with the shooter, the son of the father. The father was killed in that attack, but now the son now, who was in a coma, had apparently woken up. And that's as far as the story went. I don't know if you've heard of any further development on that story. I'm curious.
We have heard that he's come to, and that, of course, means that he may survive his injuries, and that will help bring clarity to what happened, perhaps. But we don't know what he said, if he said anything. At this point, we're all tuning in,
sure,
very closely. And there are a lot of questions to be answered, for example, about the trip that he took with his deceased father to the Philippines,
yes,
which is a known hotbed of Islamist terrorism,
right,
in the area in Southeast Asia. And of course, the ISIS affiliation, we heard from Australian officials telling us that they suspect the father and son were ISIS affiliated. But in what way? Was there a video? We haven't seen a video that these terrorists often prepare before the attack.
Right.
But we do know now, what's interesting to see in Australia, that the initial reaction by the Australian government, the most immediate action taken on this tragedy, was to announce a gun law reform. And mm-hmm. I spoke to members of Australia's Jewish community to ask, well, what do you think about this move? And they said it completely missed to the point, because gun
right.
laws, mm-hmm. first of all, they regulate ownership among law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And second, this wasn't about access to weapons so much as the motivation to kill Jews. And that's what needs to be addressed. Besides, Australia
right.
had a gun law reform in the 1990s. So this has been addressed. That's what I hear from people like Frank Levkovitz, a security consultant in Australia. And of course, there's another aspect of this, which is the developing, escalating diplomatic row between Israel and Australia. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu repeated his allegations. He made them before the attack, and now with even more forcefully, that inaction by Australia's government on hate speech led to this attack. And we did see in Australia, in Sydney, on October 8th already, we saw thousands of people attending an event in which there were chants about, well, it's disputed. It's either gas the Jews or where's the Jews?
Right.
Both are bad enough. And hundreds chanted that. And no one was prosecuted at that event, which clearly celebrated the massacre.
Right.
So with all that, playing out, we don't know how this attack will affect Australian politics either. The fact that, look, the Muslim population of Australia has grown almost quadrupled from 2001. Now it's 1.1 million. It'll be in 2026 when it was about 200,000 in 2001. So there's a huge influx in immigration. Also, Australia, just since October 7th, 2023, gave 3,000 visas to Gazans seeking asylum. But,
and were they vetted? Sorry to come in there, Kanan. Were they vetted? I mean, how were they coming in from Gaza? How do we know they aren't Hamas members there?
Well, the Australian government says they're vetted, but they don't have a particularly good relationship with Israel right now, which would be the best source for the information. So, how much access did they get? Reliable is their vetting process to begin with? There are many questions, but all these data, they pale now in light of the tragedy that we're kind of sifting through its aftermath. But
right,
that's what's going to remain with Australian voters in the coming 2-3 years until the next election, and that could be very significant to where that country is heading.
Kanan, what puzzles me is that Australia does have intelligence services which have established that the father shooter who was killed was in possession of legal firearms, yet they knew these people's background. Oh, I'm trying to put two and two together there. How is that?
The father himself was not, as far as we know, suspected of any radical affiliation, but the son was.
But there's a possible connection that one could make. I mean, surely they'd be wary of the connection of being father and son. They would look into that and put two and two together. I guess, am I reading that correctly?
Yes, you know, with the intelligence agencies who have experience and awareness to Islamist terrorism, obviously the first thing you look for is the family and the tribe affiliation in those with those suspects. But
yes,
when you come in with a Western mindset, which any individual is its own suspect, that's how you miss a lot of these things. Also, when it comes to policing and police practices, yeah, online networks were flooded with images of Australian police officers hiding behind cars. One was hiding under the bridge from which the shooters were firing. Hmm. And now we learned that there are only two police officers assigned officially to guard the Hanukkah on the beach party that was targeted.
Yeah, I've
with
seen
hundreds
that.
Mm-hmm. of about 1,000 people there, which seems very, very light and very, very inadequate for the size of the occasion.
Indeed. Kanan, do you really think now, given this massacre, the magnitude of this massacre now that took place on Sunday, do you believe it sent out a message to the rest of the world as to exactly what we are dealing with now? Or do we still have this, non-current, this kind of like, I don't know if I'm using the right word, disregard for exactly what is transpiring here, happening with the Jewish community worldwide, and the diaspora?
Sadly, when we look at Western democracies, their big weakness here is the fact that politicians are beholden to their electorates, and they need to satisfy immediate needs. No one in France, or no one in even Chile or Brazil is going to lose voters over what happened in Sydney. But they might lose voters if they come in and they implement an anti-Islamist policy. Sure. You know, Hezbollah, Iran is very, very strong in Latin America, has very strong cells there. Actually, that's the base of the funding that Hezbollah now has, the narco-terrorism. Even let's say that President Lula in Brazil right now realizes and sees the light of the threat that poses to his own government and his own Jewish community. Mm-hmm. He's still going to pay an electoral price for it because he's the favorite among Brazil's many Lebanese and Muslim voters, and it's unlikely that he would do it. So while we're seeing really an outstanding wave of condemnations against this tragedy and recognition of how it was an Islamist jihadist terrorism targeting Jews. We've seen it from Macron. We've seen it even from Michael Martin in Ireland. We've seen it from the unlikeliest speakers. But in terms of action, none of this changes nothing about the dynamic. And so it's unlikely that we're going to see courageous moves done in light of this.
Kanon, we're going to have to leave it there. It's been a pleasure chatting to you after so long. Kanon, please take care. And Chag Sameach. And as you've greeted us, please, blessings during this time. And we'll probably chat before the end of the year. Kanon, take care. And everything on the best. Kanon Lador, correspondent, joining us on the Israel Report.
Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.